On the wrong side of Tinseltown, only BFM's man on the street knows where to go for the real scoop. It's Fabian's Hollywood with Fabian Fanboy.
Fabian, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you, Joe Guy?
I'm well, thank you. How are you doing?
Pretty good, thanks.
Pretty good. All right, what are we talking about today? I'm assuming it's Met Gala, surely.
Yes. Yes, the Met Gala.
Was it not going to be Met Gala? Because we can make it Met Gala.
No, it was not going to be the Met Gala.
Okay.
I failed to pay close attention. But I definitely heard about it. From what I understand, some people wore some clothes.
Yeah, and raised
and
some money.
That's kind of what it was about.
Yeah. All right, you talk
well,
to
actually,
me.
Actually, on that note, I do have something to say about the Met Gala. When I was in Tribeca a couple of weeks ago, I saw the new documentary from New Zealand filmmaker Petra Brett Kelly, and it's called Yellow is Forbidden, and it's about a Chinese haute couture designer named Guo Pei, whose most famous sort of moment was when, do you remember a few years ago when Rihanna wore that big flowing yellow gown?
I 100%
to
do remember.
The Met Gala?
Yep.
Yeah, she designed that, and it's about her trying to get approved by the French people who decide if you're haute couture or not. There's only been one Chinese person before that.
Whoa.
And it's a really amazing film, and they just announced that it's playing at the New Zealand International Film Festival in one of the early programming announcements. So there, I do have something relevant to say about
Met Gala. Oh, man, that's so cool. What's it called
again? Who would have thunk it?
What's it called again?
It's called Yellow is Forbidden.
Yellow is Forbidden. Okay, sweet. I'm going to look into that.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's
really
so cool.
Good.
All right.
Yeah.
What is it we were going to talk about?
So anyway, well, there's a bunch of films coming out this week. I'll quickly run down them. There's Chappaquiddick, which is about the Ted Kennedy career derailing incident in which he left a woman to die in his overturned car, starring Australian actor Jason Clarke. Quite intrigued by this story. It's funny how they've marketed it over here as it's kind of like in the post-Roseanne succeeding world. They're like, see, not all those Kennedys are so great. And they're almost sort of trying to play up the anti-democrat sensibility of this film on a certain level. Anyway, I haven't seen it. One film I have seen that has come out is called Crooked House. It's just playing down at the Bridgeway, I think.
Uh-huh.
It's an Agatha Christie adaptation that doesn't involve Miss Marple or Hercule Poirot, but it's a really great film about this young guy investigating this really messed up family, and it's one of Agatha Christie's darkest stories, and this is this lush BBC-ish style adaptation, not that far beyond the recent TV Agatha Christie adaptations, but enough to warrant a trip to the theatre, I think. Also, Tully is the new film from Jason Reitman and Diablo Cody, who together collaborated on Juno and Young Adult. I'm a huge fan of Young Adult. This film also stars Charlize Theron, so I'm excited to see that. And Steven Soderbergh's Unsane, which is a psychological thriller he shot on an iPhone because he's Steven Soderbergh and he likes to do things like that. But the thing I did want to talk about, it's not a movie, but it's very movie adjacent, is this new series that's on YouTube Red, which is YouTube's premium subscription service, which used to just be YouTube stars doing slightly higher budget things than they usually do, I think. But now they're getting into proper programming. They've made a show called Cobra Kai, which is a sequel to the Karate Kid series from the 80s. And oh my God, is it awesome. And there's so much 80s derived stuff nowadays, and it always sort of misses the mark. But this just so understands what made the Karate Kid awesome. I feel like you might be too young to really understand, Joe Guy, but the Karate Kid was a huge deal in the 80s.
I'm aware,
and
actually, because I've seen the Jaden Smith version, so I'm actually very well aware.
Oh my God, don't talk to me about that version. They're not even doing karate in it. It's kung fu. It's totally... But interestingly, because of that version, Will Smith is an accredited executive producer on Cobra Kai because he controls the Karate Kid rights.
Right.
But this is like, it's Daniel LaRusso and the villain from the first film is now the main character, and it's a really interesting turnaround in that this guy, William Zabka, he was the typical 80s waspy bully jerk in a bunch of movies, and you just hated him in the first Karate Kid, and now he's the protagonist, and he's sympathetic, and it's really interesting, and it's this 10 times half, 30-minute show. Daniel LaRusso is a big character in it as well, but not at the very beginning, and it's just kind of, there's flashbacks to the original film, no mention of Jaden Smith anywhere. It's very cool. You can watch the first two episodes on free YouTube, and I think YouTube Red has a free month, so you can just go and sign up for a free month and binge them all, and then cancel your membership so they don't get any of your money.
Oh man, that's amazing. I might even just torrent it. Don't tell anyone though. That sounds good.
Well, that's an option too. But yeah, like New Zealand was obsessed with the Karate Kid. At any moment in the 80s, there were at least half the country was trying to do the crane kick, which is this amazing kick that Daniel LaRusso does, which I feel like what you're thinking is when my dad used to go on about the Dirty Dozen. I'm like, oh God, I'm that person now, talking about old movies. But yeah, Cobra Kai, really good, really great 80s follow-up, and it actually gives me hope that other nostalgia-driven sequels that maybe shouldn't happen, should happen. Like, they should do another Gremlins, and they should do another Goonies, because Cobra Kai shows that you can actually go straight back into the world and upend it in interesting ways that honor the original and all the nostalgia everyone has for it.
And you can do
you can kind of see it as a...
You can do, like, a high-budget YouTube exclusive.
Yeah. It's weird. Here we are at this point, day and age, where the coolest TV show is from YouTube. Oh boy.
Oh man, that's amazing.
But it's half hour episodes, and there's 10 of them, so you can kind of see it as like a 5-hour movie. But like when Maleficent came out, the whole big concept was like, oh, it's the story you know, but from the villain's perspective, and she's actually sympathetic. They had to change what happened to make Maleficent sympathetic. They had to retcon a whole bunch of stuff. But in Cobra Kai, they didn't change anything. They just made him sympathetic. It's really interesting.
Nice. Subversive. Interesting. I'm going to look into it. Thank you, Fabian.
Thanks, Joe Guy. Nice to talk to you.
All right. See you then. Bye.
You'll be listening to Fabian's Hollywood with Fabian Fanboy.